Great, thanks. I will begin with Genesis again, and let us create man in our image and in our likeness. It doesn't make any difference with one or two Trinitarian commentators may be confused in their own right. That's not the Word of God. As you mentioned earlier, we want the Word of God. Then look at the context in that chapter. It's God speaking to God. There is no other way to see it because of two reasons. One, we don't find the angels themselves created in the image of God. We find Adam, humankind, created in the image of God. We alone are created in the image of God. We're told in Genesis there, 1 and 2, in the further defining of and development of bringing Adam out and then Eve, that God is singular. And yes, everybody's had trouble with Elohim there. Everybody's had trouble with the concept of singular and plurality. And part of the issue is why not just take it for what it reveals? It's revealing some level of conscious language discussion. I don't say that when I talk. I don't say, hey, let us go over here. Let us go over there. Obviously, we have no other scriptures anywhere in the Old Testament, New Testament that would go back to Genesis 1 and say, oh, this is including the angels. That can be clearly negated throughout the rest of scriptures. There's no such divine counsel that we are created in the image of or that they helped in the actual creation or that we're born in their image. We have clearly, as historically the church has taken, yes, old line Judaism didn't take it because they've had partial revelation. And I think part of what John is missing is the fact that Temple Judaism, Second Temple Judaism, during that day, specifically Sadducees and Pharisees and so forth, they missed the boat. They were wrong. Even the fellow that agreed with Jesus concerning the Lord our God is one, Jesus said, you're not far from eternal life. But he wasn't there yet. He still didn't know who Jesus was. He did not acknowledge Jesus as Messiah, as Savior, as Son of God, as nothing. He was still left into a small, partial revelation of the being of God that had been perverted by the Pharisees and Sadducees of that day. They, as Jesus said in John 5 and 6, in dealing with them and confronting with them, he said to them very clearly, you're not of Yahweh. You're not of Abraham, the God of Abraham. You are of your father, the devil. These Jews in that day did not see Jesus as God, did not see Jesus as Messiah, did not see him as Emmanuel, did not see him as the branch, did not see him as any of the prophecies of the Old Testament referring to his appearance. And so I would have to say that I cannot rely on, Second Temple, Judaism, to hold to a concept of God as if they were right. They were wrong. Old Testament definitely refers to God, the Lord of God being one, in the context of the plurality of demon gods and goddesses, as again Yahweh says in Isaiah 46, that he alone is God. There is none like him. There's no one beside him. He is beyond all gods. And so we have this constant, translation of capital G, as in comparisons to small g. What John would have to do, and with this, view would have to do is, again, go to all translations, basically, not just the NIV, but the King James, the Coverdale, the Williams, the Tyndale, and go to all of them and retranslate and change these into small g's, which, again, the Jehovah's Witnesses did in some cases, though they were wrong, and then in other cases, they didn't translate that anothrous noun, the Greek, into a small g. They left it as capital. So they even contradicted themselves. God, let us create man in our image. We have the beginnings of the revelation of plurality, and there's no reason why anybody would have to think in the terms of Godhead. We're not projecting human concept and thought into God. We're receiving revelation of the immensity, the infinity, and at times God being incomprehensible. God so beyond us. The old theologian Francis Schaeffer said it very, very well when he said, we can all know God truly, but we'll never know him exhaustively. You would have to be infinite. You would have to be. So we need to take just revelation in context, even when there's been detractors, debaters, whatever else. We go back to sola scriptura. Let us create man in our image. where is another verse that says this is God talking, this is Yahweh, or this is Elohim talking to the angels, this is Elohim talking to the divine council? We can't reject that. That's eisegesis, thrusting that into Scripture. If you let the Scripture speak by itself, let us create man, Adam, humankind, in our likeness. Obviously, John 1, obviously Colossians 1, and even in the creation revelation of Hebrews 1, we find that it's God that did create. We find the exact same thing being said about Christ and the Spirit of God who hovered, you know. And by the way, just to mention on the Spirit of God, maybe we can do another, you know, one of these. There's also reference to the Old Testament in the terms of the Spirit of God being called Yahweh. So Sean hasn't gone back to the Old Testament to negate in Isaiah 6 this phenomenal revelation that, again, Second Temple Judaism totally missed, and did not confess that this was Jesus high and lifted up. John's revelation, again, unless we have to rip out these kind of scriptures, tells us that Isaiah saw Jesus high and lifted up. As who? As Yahweh. As Isaiah says, you know, Lord God Almighty, Yahweh is used right there. So it is not the only time Yahweh is used in reference to Jesus directly. So we have in Isaiah 6, we have later in the proclamation of virgin shall be a child, which is again brought into the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. We find the angel mentioning it again. Obviously, when you read the context of Isaiah, that this virgin that shall be with child, and they shall call him what? Father, yes. Mighty God, capital G, yes. So we can agree that he's the Son of God, the Son of Man, that he is the man Christ Jesus, that he is the second Adam. But I think that Sean is not understanding that when God was incarnate in human flesh, there was a self-limiting in the sense of on the human side of him. Don't forget that he's fully human and fully God, not just God. So when we say, a Trinitarian would say, hey, Jesus is God in human flesh, we're not saying that he's just God in human flesh. We're saying that he's God and human all in one, that there is the human side as he represented humanity, as he represented humanity sinlessly at the cross, as he represented humankind as the man Christ Jesus. He's a man, 100% man, totally man, but he's more than just a man. So the collective revelation, the plurality is definitely seen in the Old Testament, glimpses. But there's also just glimpses of Messiah coming. There's also just glimpses of a blood sacrifice, glimpses of salvation by faith, glimpses of his dying on the cross. If we go to, for example, Psalm 16, and the Holy One would not see decay, the 1,000 years in advance, the declaration of the resurrection, that was known clear, you know, 1,000 years prior to his coming. And again, a little piece. Did the Jews of the Second Temple of Jesus' day know that? No. They, again, did not see. They had rejected the Word of God for so long. Jesus said, the Word of God does not live in you. I can't base my personal relation with God or the biblical revelation and put it in the hands of those who rejected almost the totality. Just because they said the Lord our God is one God, in opposition maybe to the Roman plethora of gods and emperor worship. Sure, they were stating this as part of the Decalogue. They were stating this as part of the Declaration of Israel, but I'm not sure they even understood what they were stating. When they would read Isaiah 6, did they understand it? No. When they read Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, referring to Jesus, the Messiah, did they understand it? No. Did they understand the virgin should be a child and God would become Emmanuel, human flesh? No. It wasn't the Jews that were proclaiming the Messiah's coming. It wasn't the Jews proclaiming, you know, that this is going to be God in human flesh. They missed the boat. They rejected him. And even the fellow that met Jesus face to face rejected him face to face. So when Jesus first arrives, not only these wise or these whoever these guys from the east came that bowed down and worshiped, the angels worshiped Jesus no differently than worshiping God himself. And So we're not going to be able to say that he, you know, to try to say that he's only God. No, he's God in human flesh. There is a need to grapple with God becoming man and becoming man in representation of both sides. There was a clear representation of both sides. So plurality is progressively revealed, but has never been something new on the field. The term Trinity, you don't have to use the term if you don't want to. The only reason that it eventually came out was in the backdrop of the battle of the overwhelming majority of church spiritual leaders, fathers, preachers, people who were bearing the fruit, taking the canon, and eventually even those who brought the canon together. They all were declaring that Jesus was God in human flesh, and the controversy I think Sean and others are going to have to deal with is that it seemed as though it was constantly a detractor here and a detractor there. Clearly, as he's mentioned, a minority view, but a minority view that rests in the camps of those that not only negated divinity in Christ, as earlier Sean mentioned about us having fullness in Christ, in that same context, the fullness of deity. Not just that he could be filled up as much as he could with God, we could be that. Ephesians chapter 3, that we might be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. That's us as believers in Christ. Obviously, we're not God. God dwells in us. We'd all agree with that. But the scripture says Christ dwells in us. There's an association. Even Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my teaching. And the Father and I, plurality, will come and make our home in you. So we have plurality all through. If a person doesn't want to define that plurality as God is absolutely one, but absolutely three personages, and three personages in no way brings separation, but brings a revelation of the fullness of that oneness to us. Oneness in human concept. In human concept is putting up one finger, or me as a human being. But I don't talk to myself saying, let us get up and get a pizza. I get up and get a pizza. If I talk to myself, nobody answers, at least to this day. But when there is discussion in the Godhead, all the way again, when we come back to Hebrews, when there's this revelation of tying Old Testament into the New Testament, giving us more revelation and more revelation. Obviously, when the scripture tells us in that chapter, you are my son, quoting the Old Testament, you are my son, today I become your father, in reference to his physical birth and his representation as son of God, son of man, second Adam, on the face of the earth. I will be his father, he'll be my son. How do we deal with the fact that Old Testament, being quoted New Testament, in all these translations will say, not because these guys were all Trinitarians, we'd have to say that, you know what, the Spirit of God must not have been involved in all those Trinitarians developing the idea. We need to throw it away. But then we need to throw away the King James. Then we need to throw away the original King James. Then we need to throw away the New King James. Then we need to throw away the Coverdale or the, you know, the Bishop's Bible, the Geneva, the Great Bible. We need to throw away most all of these because they all seem to be completely and totally Trinitarian. So either the Spirit of God was not involved, or clearly it is Trinitarian, and the Spirit of God was involved in bringing about the fullness of revelation. And I'll just stop with verse 8. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, capital G. Couple verses down, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness, therefore God, capital G, your God, has set you above your companions, referring to Jesus, by anointing him with the oil of joy, a quotation from old to new. So if the quotations from the old to the new, the Spirit of God is bringing the old into the new. We don't have a new development of God. We have a fuller revelation. You know me only in this discussion today. But if you got to know me more, you know I like a Harley Fat Boy. I love Harley Fat Boy. I love Chinese food. Pad Thai is my favorite food, Thai food. I live on 5 acres. The deer, you know, come up on my yard. I've just revealed a number more things about me. They've always been true. I mean, I'm sitting here. They've been true before you knew me, before I said it. It's just further revelation. And that is the need. to accept the revelation, from the old into the new, and to embrace Jesus, not only as our personal Savior, not only as the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Man Christ Jesus, but as Emmanuel, as God in human flesh, representing both sides. There we go.